Well, good afternoon. It's Monday, October 9th, 2023, and we're going to be at work today on part two of the Word dwelling in you richly. Richly meaning that we abound in Christian virtues as we live our lives. And there is no way, and I mean it is impossible, to overstate the worth of the Word of Christ dwelling within us richly. The sum total of all the riches in the world, it cannot even begin to compare to the God-breathed Word inhabiting our minds and hearts. And today I want to start by reading Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. We've read it in the King James, but I would like to read it in the Bible in basic English. And it begins, verse 12, "As saints of God, then, holy and dearly loved, let your behavior be marked by pity and mercy, kind feeling, a low opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and a power of undergoing all things." Now, a low opinion of oneself means that we have an insightful comprehension of God's wisdom and resources. And we realize that one's family tree, one's education, personal family wealth, all the personal experiences of life, all those bound together, they fall woefully short of our spiritual pedigree. So, having a low opinion of ourselves is in the context of having a high opinion of who we are in Christ. We're humble, we're willing to be taught God's Word to the end that we consider it, we learn it, we absorb it, we savor it, we digest it, and we reap the benefits. A power of undergoing all things that's mentioned in this verse 12, it indicates a long suffering, and that's a patient quality. Long suffering does not surrender to circumstances, nor does it succumb under the trials or temptations of the devil. It's long suffering. Earlier verses in Colossians 3, God does speak to the behaviors we are to reject. And with the new birth, we are saints of God. So in verse 13, it continues, "Be gentle to one another, and having forgiveness for one another. If anyone has done wrong to his brother, even as the Lord had forgiveness for you." Be gentle to one another. That's the quality of enduring or refraining ourselves from being otherwise. You know, refrain from any temptation to be otherwise, other than gentle to one another and forgiving one another. Because the Lord Jesus Christ forgave us. I talked last week about how the Lord Jesus Christ forgave Judas Iscariot, welcomed him eternal life. So verse 14, "And more than all, have love, the only way in which you may be completely joined together." You know, God's love is gorilla glue. None of us are perfect in our walks with these earthly bodies. We do our best. We, you know, on a good day, we aren't perfect. God's divine love is meant to hold the body of Christ together, like it likens the body of Christ to the human body. You have all of the parts of the body are joined by ligaments and bands, and that's what his love is. It joins that body. It holds that body together. And yet all those parts work individually. So any of these virtues can be acted out You know, I can be kind. I can act kind on any given day. I can smile. I can say I forgive you and smile. But it is the love of God that joins all these virtuous actions together. God's love demonstrated from our hearts is that bond of perfection. It's the motivating factor for all of our actions. Otherwise, it's called false. It's just false. It's two-faced. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ, and that's the peace that comes from our realizing our forgiveness. And let the peace of Christ be ruling in your hearts, as it was the purpose of God for you to be one body and give praise to God at all times. Let the word of Christ be in you in all wealth of wisdom, teaching and helping one another with songs of praise and holy words, making melody to God with grace in your hearts. And whatsoever you do, verse 17, in word or in act, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving praise to God the Father through him. Now the context here is how we conduct ourselves within the body of Christ, you know, among our fellow brethren. But yet, great to consider, there is a remote context to these verses, which is the greatest commandment of all, loving God and loving others as ourselves. So these verses we read about being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. Have you ever stopped to think that it starts with how we think about ourselves before God? How can we possibly love others if we indulge ourselves on thoughts that make us self-loathing? Those thoughts that have all the associated baggage. You know, nurture Christian virtues so that you can first exercise them upon yourself. Be merciful. Recognize God's pity upon all of us individually and collectively. And let these verses in Psalm 103 dwell in your heart richly. Verse 12 says, for as the east is far, or as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In Psalm 103:13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that love him, fear him. For he knows, this is talking about God, for God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Remember, he took the dust of the ground and he formed and made Adam. Sure. And that's really kind of a neat example of having a low opinion of ourselves. You know, for me to think about my life, my shortcomings, my long suits, the things I know, the things I don't know, I'm dust. But God knows it, and I know it. And you know what? He's okay with that because he has given liberally to us the equalizer for our lives. And at the gathering together, we receive the whole package and we have a new body that is perfect. We no longer have to equalize out this body of the flesh in a world that is just a mess. So be forgiving of yourself. Sometimes, honestly, sometimes life gets so gnarly that we don't even know where to begin to unravel thoughts that lead to actions, that lead to problems in our lives, in our thinking. But there's no worries, really, because the solution is the indwelling Word of God. That will take on the process of straightening up our thoughts and lives. So envision this. Get a picture in your mind of unlimited lumens of divine light circulating, shining like a searchlight through your brain, providing for you the image of your true self. The richly dwelling Word of God inhabiting your mind and heart is your armor. More specifically, it's the armor that God Almighty has provided for you to wear. You put it on. His Word dwells within you. It inhabits you. And the truth of this armor, as we read in Hebrews, sometime back, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It serves as a sentry, a guard for your heart. I think of it as kind of like a heavenly HEPA filter. It catches pollutants and traps them that would try to contaminate your thoughts. And you know what? All we have to do is put on the Word and allow that Word to do that for us. Feast upon the Word of God. Look at it and regard the Bible as the book of all books. Believe that the Word of God is. You know, in speaking privately with folks about overcoming crippling situations in their lives, we have come to understand how necessary it is to realize these truths. How necessary it is to determine within ourselves to take on the responsibility for receiving deliverance that God has already given. God has given the deliverance. It's there for our receiving. Our Father has deposited every form of deliverance we would ever need, every blessing we could ever hope for, every resource for any need we would ever have. It is in our spiritual bank account. You know what we have to do? Go to the bank of God and make a withdrawal. Look at 3 John verse 2. Think about that. God's will is so very clear. 3 John in the New King James Version, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So see, God wants us to prosper in all things. He wants us to be in good health. But he knows that if the Word, if our soul is not prospering, we're going to come short of receiving what he has already put in our bank account. And in light of that, look at the beauty of verse 4. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And in Luke 10, we see another provision in verse 19 in the New King James Version. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, speaking spiritually, those things that entrap our minds and sting us. And so I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, that is kind of a conditional promise. If nothing is going to hurt us, it's because the Word of God is dwelling in us richly. Because we will be proven by the devil. We will take on attacks. we have authority in the name that God set above all names to spiritually trample over all the possible powers of the enemy. Allow that to happen. We determine that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are free. And for those who desire to be free indeed, the indwelling word is imperative. Jesus paid handsomely on the cross for our deliverance from the exercise powers of evil. He picked up the tab. He picked up the whole tab for our salvation, our wholeness, and our spiritual freedoms. In verse 15, said back in Colossians, let the peace of Christ be the rule in your heart. And the word for rule means to call the shots. It's like the umpire. The word reigning in our hearts calls the shots on our thoughts as they come across the home plate. Exercise your God-given authority. Prove God. And the enemies to spiritual freedom messing around in our minds, messing around in our bodies, they're in the world around us. We leave our homes every morning. They're on the streets, the thoughts, the messages. It's on billboards. It's on the sides of buses. It's in the classes that we have to take that are prescribed by the government, in our jobs. It's everywhere. But it can kind of be, it can't be. Those enemies to spiritual freedom messing around in our minds and bodies, they cannot be likened to walking into a spider web that can just be brushed away with the swat of the hand. It's more involved than one prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not magical. It's miraculous. The name of Jesus Christ certainly is always the start, for sure. But it is important to understand how the Word dwelling in us richly establishes our deliverance. The name of Jesus Christ may move that satanic influence. It may cause that to depart from our minds and our lives. That's the easy part. Now, you have to establish your deliverance. And here in part two of the Word dwelling in you richly, I want to spend a little time going through how this works. And it is our earnest and heartfelt prayer that this will be of help to anyone desiring to discard, get rid of, clean out their mental baggage for a treasure chest of truth that would open up for life and prosperity, that our journey on this earth would not necessarily be without afflictions, because we know that's not available, but it would be without the anxieties, all of the emotional things that go on, because we would be the victors over every affliction, over every temptation. So, you know, you can be born again. You can have the knowledge that the old man died with Christ. You can quote a verse that says we are risen anew in him. And yet, there may be some little thoughts that go on inside your mind that impose restrictions on you exercising your spiritual freedom. You know, those enemies, those thoughts are designed to make us doubt God. They're designed to make us doubt ourselves. But it all leads to us discounting the truth of the promises of God. To conclude that maybe he isn't faithful after all. Certainly it is our Heavenly Father's desire that we live free of any form of bondage. So even though we read in our Bibles that we are free, perhaps in some area of life, we aren't enjoying His level of freedom that's described in the Word of God. His level of victory that is laid out before us. And perhaps in some area of life, we just are not enjoying that level of freedom. And over time, we all know this. Over time, it wears us down. And realistically, those thoughts and imaginations can drive us nuts, so to speak. Not to mention how terribly bad it breaks down the integrity of God's Word in our hearts. Because we have this layer of intimidation, little layer of doubt. We're not good enough. And it just works us over. And the thoughts always remind us that we are believers. And life is just as bad as it was. That's what the devil wants. You're believers, but life hasn't really gotten any better. You know, maybe you smile more. Maybe you have better friends, a better circle of friends. But when you go in and close your door, it's just as bad as it was. That's what the devil wants us to live with. We might feel captive with our own minds in certain aspects of where the Word of Christ is not dwelling richly on a subject. You know, He doesn't totally wipe us out. He'd love to do that, of course. But He just wants to pick a little area where maybe we're not the most confident, and He'll start gnawing away at that area. If we've got a short fuse, He will figure out how to make you mad. He will push every button you have, any area like that. Then, of course, being born again ones, we might even feel ashamed to admit to anyone that we need help. I mean, after all, I've been a believer many years. So I just decide it's going to have to be my secret. And you know what? That's just what the devil wants. He wants us to hide our temptations and our afflictions from others. And especially the other ones that could really help us out. Now, I'm not saying we sit down and tell every person we meet the deepest, darkest troubles in our soul. That's not the teaching at all. But the teaching is, look to the Word. Look over your life in light of the Word. And if there is an area where you can be helped with this teaching, then do it. If you find you need additional help, find someone you trust and get it handled. You know, there certainly is deliverance directly from God and also within the body of Christ. And that's why Colossians that we just read re-instructed the believers how to love the brethren. I've been with believers that I found, unfortunately, that I could not trust with my heart. And then, fortunately, I've been with believers that I found I could trust with my life. So you find someone you trust and you partner with that one to help carry the burden of your burden. That's what God means by burden bearers. You know, nobody else can do what I must do. I come to you with a problem that I have. You can't make the Word dwell in me richly. I have to do that. But as a faithful believer, you can certainly be there for me. You can demonstrate gentleness, that long-suffering and patience that are all fruit that emanates from you having the love of God fervently in action. And even though we know from the pages of the Bible that we have been delivered from the exercised powers of evil, it is absolutely paralyzing to read that when we're still walking around chained to debilitating thoughts that go on in our minds when we're in the privacy of our lives. We may smile at everyone. We may profess that we're blessed. Oh yeah, I'm great. But that will never make the deliverance happen. That's just a shiny coat on the outside. Allow yourself the help. Allow the assistance of God that God has provided from among the brethren. And you know, really, thinking two positive thoughts for every negative thought, that's not even going to come close. Not even in the ballpark. You know, that's salesman talk. It's the name of Jesus Christ. It's the power that is in that name and the word dwelling in us richly that flushes us of disappointments and failures in life. Jesus is the healer. In James chapter 1, it certainly provides a lot of clarity, starting in verse 16 in the NIV. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The thoughts that tell us lies about ourselves and others, those don't come from the Father of lights. So don't receive or digest negative thoughts about yourself under any circumstances. You may recognize that you're wrong because of the light of the word dwelling in you. That is one thing. That is called reproof from God Almighty, straight from the God-breathed word. But thoughts that come to you that you are unworthy, that you are this, that you are subrate, that you are that, those are lies from the pit of hell, and they will bind you up and they will not let you go until you exercise the name of Jesus Christ and you allow the word to dwell in you richly. And there is no other way. In verse 18, the Father of lights does do this. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you or make you whole. And getting rid of means that we make a decision to put it off. I'm done. And that's why I say it's more than one prayer. And especially a prayer where you're begging God to take it from you. It doesn't work that way. You have free will. It's our work to do. But remember, like we taught back some time ago, we don't do the work alone. That engrafted, that implanted word that dwells in us richly, we put it in and it goes to work. What a great revelation that when we humbly accept the word God planted in us, it saves us. There you go. Isn't that just absolutely stunning? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this in the New King James Version. Verse 3. For though we live in the world, which we do, we live in this world, it says, we do not wage war as the world does. And yet somehow, in many instances, believers have started warring in the world just like the world does. In verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have our weapons from God, divine weapons. On the contrary, our spiritual weapons, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So where that world has caused us, tricked us, deceived us, and it's subtle, we're not stupid, but the devil is sly. He is subtle. And he knows how, if he sees any place at all that he can work with your logic to slip in error, he will. So you see, it's the divine power. It's supernatural power. It's not our personal disciplines that demolish strongholds. No, it's our hearts of love that desire deliverance from God Almighty in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is our decision to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God and watch Him work. It is our decision to tell the power of the enemy to get out of our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And with this divine power demolishes the strongholds in life that try to cripple us spiritually. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You know, that tries to happen every day. It goes on, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Well, if the word of Christ isn't dwelling in us richly, then how are we going to catch those things, those thoughts that need to be grabbed hold of and made to be obedient? We have to make those thoughts go by demanding obedience of our thoughts, that we conform with what the word says. And honestly, if we do not take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ's thoughts, those unattended thoughts will embolden themselves and they will take our thoughts captive. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves to what it says. But whoever looks intently, this is such a great verse, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law, which includes God's divine love, which into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You know, it's the word of God that gives us freedom. Wherever we need to be loosed, it can do the job. Now, our next study may be a part 3. We'll see how it works out. And, you know, not to harp on this topic, but I do want to be thorough in bringing the word to your remembrance, and especially in areas where the enemy deceives us right out of what is ours to enjoy. So I would like to thoroughly cover this topic. This coming week, I'll be listening to the last two teachings again and just seeing if there's other things needed to be added. And if not, we'll move along, but I kind of suspect there will be a part 3. So, you know, the world is not going to get any easier. The erroneous thoughts are rampant around us every day. And we need to be as whole and as healthy as we can every day to meet those, well, to exceed those temptations, to be out in front of the things that the Word says will come and put us on trial. The devil wants to try our faith. So we prayerfully desire that everyone who listens to these studies enjoys God's promises, and it is our prayer that if there are segmented areas in somebody's life where you recognize that you need deliverance, we want you to be able to walk through this study and set your spiritual goals for freedom. And you can accomplish it. You can accomplish it. It's available to accomplish it between you and God. Allow our powerful Father to impact the quality of your life. And if you find you need additional assistance, remember that we are always available, and you are more than welcome to call upon us with any need that you might have. So our love to all. Until next time, God bless you.